Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com today. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us in the second half of the program. We will get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up later this hour as well. The Beast is out at the Athletic. So Dane Brugler, friend of the show, his annual publication that he puts out of there that goes into extreme detail about these prospects in the draft, and he breaks them all down. It's really good stuff. Check that out. At the Athletic, he has ranked his top 100 players in the draft coming up as well. By the way, if you're wondering, Arvell Reese, number one, which is not a surprise. I think he's had him ranked number one the whole time. Jeremiah Love is number two on Brugler's list. So Jeremiah Love coming in at number two. Here was the takeaway from Dane Brugler. It says he's an explosive athlete with a remarkable blend of balance and burst to be dynamic both as a runner and in the passing game. He is one of the most talented players in this year's draft class, projects as a high upside NFL weapon. Talking about Jeremiah Love. And one thing I've noticed, and you know, without giving away the entire beast here, one thing you notice, Joe, pretty quickly as you get down the list of some of these prospects is, I guess the way that Brugler describes them is like, yeah, he could probably turn into an NFL starter, or this is a starter. And then pretty quickly, like into the 20s, it's like, yeah, he should start, but, you know, maybe high-level backup at some point. It's like, man, does this draft class suck that much? Where we're talking about, like, these guys and, you know, they're picked 35th overall might start at some point.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit, which tracks with what a lot of the stuff we've heard, right? It's just, it's not. Again, right? Not a great draft. When's the last time we had a draft? Was it 2 years ago, I guess?
I guess so, yeah.
Like, I think that was more like, this is a really good draft.
And everybody thinks next year's is going to be really good, but, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You know, we know a receiver who's going to be great in next year's draft.
We do.
But, like, you know, the quarterback thing is just – always wrong. You know, it's like it's just all over the place what we think now compared to what we'll think in August compared to what we'll think in October and then December. Like, that changes a lot. But yeah, it's definitely a draft where it's like, if you're gonna move down, be careful, because I get the idea of moving down and getting more picks, but if there's like 15, you know, like legit actual, everybody agrees they're, you know, first round prospects, you might want to make sure you're getting at least one of those.
I'm looking at the weaknesses that have been listed in Jeremiah Love's game. These are the weaknesses. Goes big game hunting at times and bypasses developing lanes to try to get outside. Hard charging runner, smashes the accelerator, but could use a dash more tempo. Could do a better job of setting up second and third level moves. Takes care of the football. He fumbled just once in 3 years with the Irish. Zero lost fumbles, but he got a bad habit of jump skipping when catching passes. So there's that. Those are some of the weaknesses for Jeremiah Love. It's like we're going into the bag on some of these weaknesses.
Yeah. Well, I will say, though, that I take seriously the setting up blocks and the patience thing. That is a huge thing for a back. So, you know, again, some guys seem to have like a real knack for that. You can learn. I mean, I think you can learn it. You can get better at that stuff, you know. I mean, that's funny, too, because the big game hunting thing was definitely a knock on Derrick Henry early in his career. It's like, just put your head down and, you know, stop trying to go outside all the time, you know. He turned out to turn out okay. It took him a little bit. It did take him a little minute to get there.
It did.
They were, you know, he was behind David Flewellen for a minute there.
Good call, LaFleur.
What a time. Yeah, that's right. Well, you could blame Vrabel, too, but yes, yes. LaFleur. I guess LaFleur was the OC that year.
I didn't know this. Apparently, Jeremiah Love was born premature, 3 pounds, 9 ounces. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. Brugger always comes with these little factoids.
I mean, there's everything you could possibly want to know about Jeremiah Love is in this piece right here. So, again, I'm not going to read all of it, but here's one thing that I just don't believe, okay? And I was talking to you about this off air. Arvell Reese, number one prospect. Jeremiah Love's number two. He's got Mendoza at number three. And I like Fernando Mendoza. I understand why he's going number one overall. He's a quarterback. The Raiders need a quarterback. He's probably the best quarterback in this class. Like, yeah, are you telling me that he's a better prospect than, like, Sonny Styles or Caleb Downs or, like, I mean, David Bailey? Like, he's better than those guys, like, as a prospect? I just don't believe that.
Yeah, I know. It's like the fact that he's a quarterback is obviously the thing there, right? So, but I'm with you. I mean, I think for the second year in a row, there's going to be a number one overall quarterback that everybody is like, well, in some years, that wouldn't be the number one. So how is that the third best? And I don't remember a year ago. You remember where Cam Ward was as an overall prospect? Another thing interesting, so I don't know if you've seen it yet. If you haven't seen it yet, can you guess where Joey Aguilar and Diego Pavia are?
I have not seen
on the list of quarterbacks.
On the list of quarterbacks,
just take a guess.
I will go.
Yeah, I'm talking the beast. I'm talking the beast now.
I'll go. I mean, I don't know how many quarterbacks are in the draft, but I'll go Pavia. Pavia 9, Aguilar 12,
Aguilar 11, Pavia 16.
Really?
Yes. He has Joey Aguilar 5 spots higher than Diego Pavia.
Saw Pavia getting to a little workout with the Panthers, trying to make Bryce Young look tall.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Pavia also talking about not having an agent because he didn't want to give up 5-10%. And first of all, like there's an NFL rule that it's 3%.
Yes.
But also, like NIL agents, that they do that. Those guys will take 10. But yeah, he should get an agent.
By the way,
get an agent, Diego.
If you're wondering, I've found where Cam Ward was last year on the top 100.
Okay,
he was number 13.
Yeah, so that's more. That's probably about where Mendoza should be, right?
I agree.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. He's got Kirk Cousins now, so
that's true. Maybe there's a bump.
It's like
in the ranking.
Multiplying him.
I mean, I'm not trying to sell short Fernando Mendoza. I don't know that I look at Fernando Mendoza as like some can't miss quarterback prospect.
No, I absolutely do not look at him like that. Now this makes me like, God, the beast. I'm just going to totally go down the rabbit hole. This is cool too. We got so the beast now. We've got little video stuff going with it.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
Skyler says the Titans will not take Jeremiah Love. Only because the last couple years when the main player talked about before the draft, it never happens. Well, that's not really true. The main player talked about last year was Cam Ward, and that happened. Says last year was an exception with Ward. The year before, it was Joe Alt or Malik Nabers. We got J.C. Latham.
Yeah, that's true.
The year before that, it was trade up for C.J. Stroud. They ended up with Skoronski. Titans will not end up with Love due to the fact he's been all the talk through this process.
I will say, Skyler, that the higher you are, the more likely it is that the person we talk about is who it is, right?
Right.
Like
what?
Yeah,
when you're 11th.
Yeah, when you're 11th. Yeah, it can be. Yeah, you know. I think that we probably talked some about Skoronski, not very excitedly because he's an offensive lineman, a guard.
Yeah,
but yeah, you may be right. I don't know. I mean, we've talked a lot about Love. We've talked a lot about Bailey. So, if it's not one of those two, I guess then you're getting into the someone that we haven't talked as much about. Maybe they'll go Bane.
Well, Bane is number 9 on the list, by the way, too, of the top 100 prospects. They've got Reuben Bane at number 9. I was interested to see where he landed. Bailey's at 7, so it's not like Bailey is jumping out towards the top here. The one that it was interesting to me, like if you're a Tennessee fan, because like I have seen some mock drafts that have Chris Brazel going at like 37 or 41, or like some people have him going 35 to the Titans. Like I've seen him up decently high, and Brookler's got him ranked at number 96. Says he's an immediate deep threat who moves well for someone his height, but quote, a long way to go on the Chris Brazel front.
Yeah, which I mean, I read that as the offense, right? Although Brazel has done a lot of look at the film, like it's not jet, and so it's still like even though, you know, obviously he's not doing just the stop and go stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's still like stuff he's going to be doing in these offenses that just aren't part of that offense. But that's low. Yeah, that is low for someone with those traits.
Brugler goes in the bag here, man. Part of the weaknesses was for Brazel, arrested for speeding 60 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone and driving with a suspended license in August of 2025. I actually remember that. It says charges were later dismissed. Lord, when he starts putting together these Georgia player profiles, he's going to have to be like, good grief.
They're all like low on the list.
Hey, you see how many? Yeah. The weakness is they all get arrested for going, you know, 95 miles an hour.
God. Got a D on a chemistry test as a high school junior.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming on the NFL draft. Gorski with us later in the program. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025 the game. Today, the Nashville Sounds taking on Gwinnett, Triple-A affiliate for the Atlanta Braves. First pitch at 535. You can catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, or the Buzz is always about great service. Paul Kuharski will be with us coming up here in the second half of the program. Caleb, going back on Brazel, says, anyone who says Tennessee's offense was the same, especially with wide receivers last year, did not watch at all and shouldn't be taken seriously. Yes, they did make some changes. Now, one thing that I think is always going to be difficult in this offense, and it's brought up in the weaknesses part with Brazel too, is like when Tennessee runs the ball and you've got the wide splits, like, you basically get no feel at all for how good these receivers are at blocking because they don't leave the line of scrimmage. Like, is the weakness, and Brugler talks about this, and we've talked about this before, but the quote, barely moved off the line on some run plays in Tennessee's offense, right? Like, when he's lined up basically on the boundary, there ain't a whole lot of run blocking that's going on out there on the boundary. So there's that. I mean, some things just naturally put you at a disadvantage in the evaluation process when you're in this offense. That would be one of those things. And I would agree with this. Like, I don't necessarily think Brazel is great after the catch, right? Like, he's good at high pointing the ball, going up, making some big plays. Like, he's not a huge, you know, yards after catch guy in terms of, like, making people miss and breaking tackles and making big plays down the field that way. He'll go get the ball, which that's great. There's great value in that.
Yeah, and you know, to the Texas point, look, I understand all these guys, obviously, especially you're coming out of the draft, you're going to fight against the perception. I mean, look, I watched every Tennessee game this year. Well, I'm going to not watch much of, like, whenever they played, like, you know, Southwest whatever state. But, they had some different things in there, but it's still the same offense. I mean, it's the same offense. The deep choice routes activated on one side, not activated on the other, and that was still foundational to the offense. They did some different things. But, you know, Jalin Hyatt caught the ball over the middle sometimes. Jalin Hyatt in the red zone caught slants for touchdowns. Like, I mean, they have done different things. Really, Golish coming into that offense added a whole bunch. I mean, he added all the RPO stuff, which had not been part of the offense. So, I mean, it already was much more than just your deep choice, traditional, like, Art Browse, when you think of, like, those Baylor teams from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, RG3 and what's his name, Seth. Yeah, that guy, man. Talk about, like, what was it, Seth?
I don't remember his last name. I know exactly who you're talking
about. Incredible college, like 450 yards every game and four touchdowns, you know, and, like, couldn't get a sniff in the NFL. But so it's already – it already was. And I
Seth
understand,
Russell, by the way. There you go.
Seth Russell?
Never heard that name.
Really?
That was
– Oh, I'm looking at the wrong one. He's older than
that. That does not seem right to me. Who the heck
Why
was
can
that?
I not think of the Baylor quarterback?
Hold on. I'm going to figure this out. I hate when these things happen. But you have a young brain. You're supposed to, you know, like, be able to snap your fingers. Seth Baylor QB 2014. I know somebody – No.
Seth? No.
You think
Bryce, Petty. God, Seth? So Seth was on the team.
There was
Seth was a backup on the team. Bryce Petty. There you go. Bryce Petty, man. as a college quarterback. Insane. And then it's like, we don't want you in the NFL. Thanks.
Seth.
Sorry, Seth. But, hey, good to know that Seth was back.
He's there.
Good job, Seth.
Yeah, good stuff on that front. David Bailey, number 7 on this list. You know, you look at some of the strengths, and this is when I'm looking at a pass rusher. I think one of the things that he uses to describe here is he's not a finesse rusher. He plays physical through the shoulders of blockers. Says also finishes with tremendous closing speed to chase down quarterbacks and backside runs. Those are some of the things that get me excited about the edge rushers, like the ability to quickly close on that space, finish off the quarterback. Like that's the difference in some games between getting off the field and allowing a touchdown drive is your pass rusher being able to close the distance and get there. And the Titans just really, you know, from specifically an edge rusher, like even Landry, was a good edge rusher for them. But Landry didn't have, like, just tremendous closing speed to get in there and finish the play, right? Like, so, you know, when they describe Bailey that way, and that adds up from watching him play last year, it's like, you know, that extra half second that he can close the distance on somebody and get to the quarterback, that makes a huge difference in the NFL.
No doubt.
Huge.
No doubt. No, that's definitely an exciting thing to hear about. I thought that maybe like Bailey would just be higher overall, you know?
Well, you got to get Mendoza in there, you know, number 3 prospect.
Yeah. As I look here at, Mendoza, that's just, yeah, man, I don't know. And Styles as your 4th. Interesting, too, I was a little surprised that Arvell Reese, I thought for some reason that Dane had Jeremiah Love number 1. Is that a recent switch?
I don't think so. I think he's had Reese number 1.
Has he had Reese? Okay. There are others who have Love number 1, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, but, you know, top 2. I mean, that's, you know, like you said, you get into like, you know, you get into the nitty gritty on him, and it is hard not to think that, you know, he's going to come in this league and do some pretty good stuff.
I'm scrolling through The Athletic. One of the other headlines is Diego Pavia to the New York Jets. God, I hope not for his sake. Just don't end up with the Jets.
Why is that a headline?
I don't know. I mean, Nick Baumgartner wrote about it the other day. It says
Pavia, is this like things you'd like to see or something like that?
I don't know.
By the way,
we'll have Baumgartner on the show tomorrow, 7 o'clock.
Nice. I got to say, like, I'm a little bit stunned. I know that now it's deep draft stuff, but like the fact that he has Aguilar 5 spots ahead of Pavia,
yeah,
all due respect to Aguilar.
It's just the
size,
right?
Did a great job this year. It's got to be, right? Dane says, good size passer, NFL arm, develop confidence and toughness. He'll have a chance to turn some heads once he gets into camp. So, and that's the thing. It's like, I kind of assigned this season. I mean, it's hard not to, especially with the Hendon Hooker thing, right? They're like, there you go. Here's another guy who's just sort of, you know, he's at App State and he throws all these picks and he looks great in this offense. But that's not what Brugler's seeing. So, I mean, good for Aguilar. But it's also, of course, you know, the Pavia thing there. Not a lot of for Diego.
Does Brugler have Pavia getting drafted? What would you say he was? The 16th quarterback?
He has them both as 7th/, you know, free agent guys.
Okay.
So, lack of size and arm strength tough to overcome on Pavia. NFL backup potential for an RPO-based offense. So, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, I think people are going to want him. He also says weaknesses, life of the party persona won't be a fit for every staff organization. Now, see, I understand. He also mentioned the F all the voters thing on social media. And I get that. I also think that, like, for the most part, you know, you talk to, and these teams will, they're going to talk to all these people at Vanderbilt and like, okay, give me the real deal. And they're going to hear a lot of, oh man, like this dude led the whole team, you know? And I still think that's going to way heavier than the other stuff.
Nevada Josh saying he's getting a Seth Russell jersey today. Seth Russell, shout out to the former Baylor quarterback.
Congrats, Seth. Did Seth start maybe 1 year?
I need to go look. I've heard his name before.
Yeah. Maybe he got to
– I think he may have.
The year
Let's
after
see.
Bryce Petty left. I think that was the year that it all went to hell at Baylor, actually. Pretty close to it.
Seth Russell.
Not Seth – and it wasn't Seth's fault, by the way.
Seth Russell threw for – he threw 278 passes his senior year. So I'm going to assume he started a few games.
Okay.
He threw for 7 touchdowns – excuse me. No, 20 touchdowns, 8 picks. It's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Glad we could get some Seth Russell info in today.
Looks like he started for, in some capacity, 2 years at Baylor. Played 7 games in 2015 and 9 games in 2016.
Okay. Yeah, so right after Petty left. Yeah. All right.
Seth Russell, baby.
Seth Russell.
Shout out. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I'm more your thoughts to get to on the NFL draft. Coming up next, our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game and catch the biggest golf tournament of the year at Five Iron Golf, located at 202 21st Avenue South in Nashville. 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live all day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow and Friday. Stop in, enjoy great food, golf, prizes, and more. With fellow fans from start to finish. Don't miss it, only at Five Iron Golf. We'll be out there tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m. and going to get Rex Road swinging the clubs a little bit out there. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take a couple swings. It's been a long time. I could not tell you what was the last year that I swung a golf club. I don't think I've done it at any of our
I don't think you have either.
Yeah. Watch you out there.
I think
range.
You may have hit some of my clubs on the range for like 5 or 6 shots.
Did I?
I think so.
Okay.
That's probably the last time you swung a golf club.
It's probably pretty impressive, right?
It was pretty good.
It was pretty amazing. Majestic.
Tally-ho! I couldn't tell if it was you or Scottie Scheffler
yeah,
out there.
Yeah. I thought it looked kind of fun, like, you know, like smashing the golf ball into the video screen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's that league? Oh, it was Gentry was showing me this in Oklahoma City. We're watching that league where they play.
Oh, TGL? Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Like trying to hit it under a cliff and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was like, this is actually golf that I might find interesting a little bit. It's not just polyester pants and John Daly on his 9th Coors Light.
Yeah. A lot of
ripping a heater.
A lot of Seth Russell love out there right now. We appreciate Seth Russell and his contribution to the program today. I am interested, you know, Carnell Tate, which kind of feels like an afterthought at this point. I did mention yesterday, I was listening to Todd McShay earlier this week, and he said, hey, don't be surprised if Carnell Tate goes in the top five here. The description from Brugler basically just starts talking about, you know, the adjustment, you know, the skills, catch radius, all those things. He said he's an immediate NFL starting Z with Pro Bowl upside, talking about Carnell Tate. So, I mean, it is kind of interesting to me. Like
Pro Bowl upside sounds good.
The different takes on like Tate and how what his upside actually is, because I think everybody for the most like feels like he's good, right? Like he's a solid good player who's going to be a good receiver in the NFL. I don't know that you take a receiver at number, you know, 7 or 8 overall, certainly not number 4 overall, that's just going to be like, you know, an okay number 2, right? Like you want a legitimate number one guy if you're taking a receiver that high. And some people think he's going to be that, and then some people are like, no, I mean, there's no way he's going to be a legitimate number one guy in the NFL.
Yeah, I have not thought – again, I think some of the things, and I try not to – I think sometimes I have Ohio State skepticism because of all the talent that's around them. You know, how many – but that's debunked by, like, how many Ohio State receivers have – really excelled. Look, Jackson Smith and Jigba, I did not think he was going to become what he has become. So there's an example of a guy. So
I thought Marvin Harrison Jr. was going to be an absolute stud.
That's true.
That hasn't played out that way so far.
That's the flip side, I guess. Yeah, they don't all work out. And yeah, I hate helmet scouting, but you know, when it's system scouting, you know, it's like obviously Ohio State gets the best football players, but they're very good. I think offensively, Ryan Day, like they've got it down, right? And they're getting great guys, and they develop into great players. They come in the NFL, they produce. I think he's going to be good in the NFL. But do you take him at 4? That's, you know, I say no. But Pro Bowl upside doesn't sound too bad.
Well, like I've kind of stopped thinking about it. Taking him at number four.
We barely ever talk about him.
That's probably our fault. Like, we fall into this trap every year of, well, the mock drafts all say this because so this has to be the way this plays out. And then the actual draft comes around and you're like, oh, well, they were totally wrong about that. And, oh, you know, they were.
And then it changes the whole draft.
Right. Like, I mean, how many mock drafts last year on the day of the draft had, you know, Shedeur Sanders going in the first round?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it just, it changes.
It was like, well, he'd probably fall into the second, you know, like a lot of them might have had him like, okay, early second, and then we saw what actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was a special case. The whole thing was, but yeah, we fall into, this is the general consensus of the mock drafts, and so then you're really surprised. Yeah, I mean, like Carnell Tate, maybe he's a top five guy, you know, that could be.
Sonny says Tate feels like Corey Davis. Solid player who's had a good career but not a top five pick.
Yeah.
That's an interesting comparison.
Davis thing was hard. Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. You know, the Davis thing is obviously hard because at Western Michigan. And also he didn't he went the whole process. He had a broken – I think he had just like a broken bone in his foot, I think is what he had. Whatever. He had some sort of a fracture in his leg. So he didn't go through any of this stuff. So he didn't – you know, he didn't have – like he didn't do combine, didn't run all that stuff, and he had just played, you know, like they played like Wisconsin the bowl game, but for the most part, like, you know, he was dominating Maction DBs. You know, that's one thing. That's one big difference between those two.
I'm looking at these quarterbacks. I am so fascinated to see like who the third quarterback taken in the draft is and where they go, because he's got Nussmeier, which I think is probably the general consensus of who the third quarterback is going to be. But where's he going?
Yeah.
He's got Drew Aller at number four. Where's he going? Right? Like, this really is, like, on the surface, a terrible quarterback class. Like, it's just a terrible, like, and maybe they'll have four guys that end up being really good players in the NFL. I have no idea. But on paper, heading into it, it's a pretty bad quarterback class. Like, it's not, you know, Kenny Pickett class level bad, but it's not good. It's one of the worst ones I've seen.
Well, But the thing is, a lot of these guys at different times were supposed to be certainly first-round pick guys.
Yeah, Klubnik,
right?
Klubnik, who knows where he's going to get drafted. And there were people talking about him. I remember heading into the Clemson-Georgia game last year, there were people talking about him being the number one pick when he came out. And what's he going to go? Is he going to go in like the fifth round? Maybe.
It's a great question. So where – I'm trying to figure out where he's projecting. So where is he projecting these guys? I don't see that because I'm bad at navigating things. Like Aller and Nussmeier.
I don't know. I mean, they've got – he's got Nussmeier as the number three quarterback. I'll tell you this. He's got – Ty Simpson is his number two quarterback, and he's the 42nd-ranked prospect. And he called him, I think, basically a Daniel Jones with – not really as much upside, says he could be maybe a mid-level starter to a backup in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that was his number two quarterback in Ty Simpson.
Yeah. Okay, I should have had this information. So he's got Nussmeier as a third-rounder, Aller in the third, fourth, and then everybody else. Cole Payton from North Dakota State as a fourth, and then you get into Beck, Talon Green, Klubnik, Haynes King, Aguilar, all like from either fifth on down to the seventh. So, yeah, so – I still, like, forced to bet, I still bet Ty Simpson is a first-round pick. But we'll see. And then after that, I think there's going to be a long break.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just... well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm looking at you. I'm not happy.
What are you doing? I say babies. What do you do?
I poop myself a lot, probably.
It's for the kids. It's for the kids. It's for the kids.
Keep the kid's name out of your mouth.
It's not like the boss. When the boss plays a Santa Claus coming to town, that is so wonderful. Call me a baby or old school or whatever. All you do is you scream and you scream.
They love me because I give baby life-saving blood.
I want an ice cream and I want a hot dog and I want Ran Fire and I want a hamburger.
You give them baby blood?
Vrabel leaving the field here stained in blood.
Vrabel, smash away.
Down by the river, I shot my baby.
White Sox, White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters the most. Check them out today at rapidresponsegenerators.com. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com is with us on the program. Hello, all. PK, good morning.
Good morning. Now your Edith Bunker is taking on an Adam Sandler tone.
No, I never like thought about that.
And people like that.
I hadn't thought about
that's,
that.
It's just bizarre.
That might be my favorite one, though. The Boss.
Doing Santa Claus, coming to town, my favorite song by the Boss.
I still don't understand. Like, I have a sound, but that is not it.
Well, but it's, we like to, you know, we like to
by
give
we,
it a new.
By we like you mean get, you.
The Robbie and Rex Road program likes to give it a new, new little feel. So, look, I'm going to take this opportunity with PK in to get to something I know we all want to talk about, which is college basketball.
That's what everybody's waiting for.
So now, Robbie, you actually had this rant, but I gotta really focus in on something. And yes, this is something I wrote today in The Athletic. Yes, thank you very much. You know, the Big Ten should absolutely talk all the trash. They've won three straight football championships. They finally won a women's basketball championship because, you know, they got UCLA.
Sure.
That also means the Big Ten, by the way, has the number one baseball and beach volleyball team in the country. The Big Ten with UCLA as those teams. But
good job on them.
They finally broke the streak. You know, I covered Michigan State's national championship in Indy in 2000, and I just covered Michigan's national championship in 2026. That's the gap between Big Ten championships. But the thing about this that's hilarious, and it's perfect, too, because of just what happened this weekend, is the whole thing of, like, well, the SEC used to dominate because they cheat. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And the Big Ten, well, they were following the rules, and now everybody pays, and so that's what's happened.
I like that.
Yeah,
like
you like that? You buy that? You buy that as a reality?
I buy anything that the SEC has to explain why it's not excelling now.
There he goes.
Okay, that's fine. So you hate the SEC. That's fine. But
I don't hate the SEC. I have some questions about SEC fandom.
You know, the hilarious thing about that is, like, this weekend, one of the things that they had as part of the whole Michigan thing, let's bring in the Fab Five to do an alt cast. Does anybody remember that the Fab Five is the largest scandal in NCAA history in terms of dollar amount that we actually got verified? Do we remember that or no? Now, I could go on a sub-rant and be like, so let's see. Michigan just won their second national title. Their first came in 1989. Glenn Rice is the greatest Michigan player in the history of the NCAA tournament. He averaged 31.6 points per game. Averaged 31.6 points per game in the NCAA tournament. He was an incredible player. Also, he's one of the best NBA players ever from Michigan. We never talk about him. Let's bring the freaking Fab Five into everything, who never won anything. They never won the Big Ten. They never won a national championship. They were complete cheaters. They were all on the take. Ed Martin, this guy who ran numbers at a factory in Detroit, completely just bought the entire team. But let's celebrate them.
It was the factory in South Detroit?
No.
Southern.
It actually wasn't even in Detroit.
Okay.
But, yeah, whatever. It was in the area. So, again, we've got that. We got Bruce Pearl on TV, and everybody seems to dislike him. And Bruce Pearl, of course, is famous. He was a complete pariah in the coaching industry forever because he recorded a kid talking about how he got a car from Illinois, hoping he could get him because Iowa and Illinois were both cheating so much to try to get Deion Thomas to come to their school. Like, the Big Ten has been as dirty as anyone over the years. But so now we're going with this narrative that it's just the SEC. Was the SEC better at cheating the Big Ten? I believe so. There's no numbers to back it up. Like, no one... But I believe that the SEC led the way in cheating. I believe it's the best cheating conference of all time.
When you say there's no numbers to back it up, isn't their failure to win now that the playing field is more leveled conceivably a number that is backing it up?
Sort of, but the thing is, I don't. Like, so again, let's look at like who's benefiting from this. Like Vanderbilt, for example, they're in the SEC. I mean,
well, they're pretty far from winning the national championship.
No, but they're
big sport.
Well, I mean, they were almost in the playoff this year.
Almost in the playoff, right. As I said, it's pretty far from winning a national championship.
Right, but the point is that they're an example of all what the Earth's flat. You know, like. You probably like this stuff. You probably
think it actually is. I love dumbness. Yeah. It's my favorite thing.
You and Greg McElroy think the moon landing was fake, probably.
Yeah, that's another one of my favorites.
Oh, does McElroy think that?
Yeah, yeah. He had a great rant. It was propaganda. That's the thing. People are taking it that way. Like, oh, now that they were cheating before. They were cheating. I promise you. I promise you that, like, Ohio State was not giving out room, board, and tuition to its football players 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. I promise you.
I agree. Who do we think – and I'm not big on this, but who do we think was the best at cheating?
One program?
Look, conference-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think the SEC is the best. I mean, they are. So are there maybe some Big Ten programs who are, like, because they didn't want to cheat money, you know, maybe that's part of it. But, like, people are seriously taking this, like, the pristine Big Ten. Oh, well, we just can't quite, you know, compete with the SEC. I think a big part of this is also, you know, more kids. I mean, there's much more talent, like Florida, Georgia, and the region helped the SEC too, right? And I do think that now it's like, well, if Texas Tech's going to pay me that much, I'll go out to Texas Tech. Or, like, I think that, there's more people coming to this area and taking kids because of the full payment.
I agree with
table.
All that. And your stance from the Big Ten side is fine. On the other hand, I'd like for SEC people to shut up a little bit and explain themselves or go win something.
That's fine. But again, I'd like to remind you, and this was a let me go back to my column that I wrote today. That I'm promoting here.
That he can't remember.
Yeah.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Because I have. Yeah, here we go. I mean, the headline says, Big Ten braggers, did you forget what the SEC did 1 year ago? So, again, 1 year ago, okay, the greatest non-league performance ever, 89% of their games, a record 14 teams, a record 7 teams in the Sweet 16, a record tying 4 teams in the Elite Eight, 2 teams in the Final Four, winning a record 23 games, playing a record 35 games, which means a record $70 million in units from the NCAA, and winning the championship. Okay. That's a year ago in the SEC.
Okay.
1 year ago.
Let me say this, though. If the SEC was listening to somebody argue that a long time ago, they'd say, not a long time ago, relatively recently, they'd say, that's loser talk because what we do is win championships, right? Is that not fair?
Yeah, yeah.
If somebody's rattling off how many Sweet 16s they had and how many Elite Eights.
No, that's last year. That's all in 1 year. The league did that.
I understand.
Right.
Who won the title?
Florida.
Okay.
Yes, they won the championship too.
My bad.
God.
I forgot.
Thank you for proving my point.
I already forgot that.
You know what the best part about all this is? What's the biggest cheating scandal in college sports recently?
Well, it's Michigan.
It would be Jim Harbaugh at Michigan.
Yeah.
Right? That's Big Ten, last time I checked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Football-wise, though, where the landscape is changing and SEC people are having trouble with it. Is that not fair?
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, it's even. But so, and this was Robbie's point earlier. It's like the Big Ten dominance. Like, look, man. I have no idea who's going to win it next year, but an SEC team could win it. Like, it's
absolutely
not,
could.
You know, like the Big Ten's got three in a row, and they should talk all the trash. But it's not. But the trash should not include now that after our years of stately behavior. Shut up.
Agree with that, but paired with that,
that's my rant. So if you agree with my rant, then that's it. That's all that matters.
I agree. The Big Ten shouldn't be saying after years of stately behavior, blah, blah, blah. But I would also mention in there, it's a good time for the SEC to shh on the football dominant thing.
Oh, yeah.
You're not the best.
They've been humbled.
You're not the best. No, let's be quiet. Let's shut up.
You know who really sucks at the cheating thing?
Let's all be quiet now.
Jeremy Pruitt, not great. Not great at the cheating.
I know. It's like, Jeremy, it's not that hard. You just got your own office, some dude with cash in the drawer. Like, come on, man.
Also, if you're going to cheat, you know, be good.
Yeah.
Go win some games.
I mean, you worked for Nick Saban's program and other programs that seem to be just fine. Figured it out. You're like, hey, how about a big cash drawer?
Asparagus? What's that? Paul Kuharsky will be with us for the next hour. We will get into all things Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.